He enjoyed it. All right, you call the name at the and the style, and nobody answered. All right, then, if you'll argue.
May it please the court. Expecting to have a rebuttal, I was planning to ask the court to address a few questions.
Counsel, would you announce your name and who you represent?
Sure. So may it please the court. My name is Tass Waterston. I represent Darren Spazoff and 6-2 LLC, doing business as the Dallas Dodgers Baseball Club.
Thank you.
And before directly responding to the appellant's argument, who's not here, or field any questions from the panel, I'd like to briefly address two components of the case that move and appellants failed to effectively frame and address in either their argument or their briefing. First, on procedural matters, this case concerns plaintiff appellees exercising rights guaranteed by the Texas Constitution. Move and appellants wrongfully invoked Chapter 27 of the Texas Civil Practices and Remedies Code. Plaintiff appellees contesting the applicability of Chapter 27, and having invoked Chapter 27, move-in appellants failed to follow evidentiary standards that would have enabled the trial court to rule favorably for the move-in at the statutorily mandated hearing. So having lost the only required hearing, move-in appellants now seek to have the appellate court substitute its judgment for the trial court's holding on evidentiary matters, when Chapter 27 does not provide for a second hearing on the evidence, all of which calls into question this court's jurisdiction on the matter. Second, looking at the facts of this case, a husband and wife target a small business owner in an attempt to monetize the wife's indiscretion in having an affair with the husband's coworker. The husband, having acted seemingly irrationally in outrage, resulted in his publicly humiliating his wife by posting news of this affair on the internet. The husband's comments, erroneous assumptions about his wife's affair, and defamatory statements about the plaintiff's appellee's business activities were all done in an attempt to leverage a $50,000 settlement demand for 10 to 16 months of marital counseling from the plaintiff appellees by recharacterizing the husband's own postings through his wife's Facebook account into a Chapter 27 claim against the plaintiff appellees. And if we look at that for a second, Your Honors, and take that seriously at its face, at $200 an hour, that would amount to almost 6 hours of therapy a week for 10 months, for almost four hours of therapy a week for 16 months, all for something plaintiff appellees had absolutely no responsibility. While an affair may divide the move-in appellees' marriage vows, husband and wife stand united on punishing a business completely innocent of the wife's affair with the husband's coworker. The rest is commentary and explication of the numerous issues raised by the appellant. I now stand ready to proceed on these points or answer questions from the court. I prepared a 5-minute speech originally and also a 10-minute speech, if the court's interested, as we wait. But that's really each of the essential points I want to make, if no other. But as far as you're interested, I'm here to field questions.
What's your requested relief?
Our requested relief is, ideally we would like to have the court sanction the other side, quite frankly, for abusive process, because we feel like we were brought into this case by compulsion. Even though we're the plaintiff and non-movement as it regards to the TCPA, we had a defamation claim, a prima facie case of defamation, on September 12, 2014. We tried to reconcile with the other side, and as irregularities, as irregular as these events are, I mean, this has been a typical pattern. I mean, we had a settlement agreement. They walked away from it for 45 days. We received a letter in mid-November making this $50,000 demand of us for something we had nothing to do with. So we felt like we were going to be sued regardless, so we thought we would go ahead and frame the issue appropriately. So to answer your question, though, Your Honor, we would seek dismissal of the motion, ran back to the trial court for an award of sanctions as this court deems appropriate.
So your case remains pending in the trial court.
Yes, Your Honor.
It's an interlocutory appeal. And what you're asking this court to do is to affirm the trial court judgment and remand the case to the trial court for further action.
Well, there is no judgment. There's just a motion to dismiss.
I don't mean a judgment. I mean that he dismissed the anti-SLAPP motion.
Affirm the ruling.
And that you want that affirmed and then to leave the case pending in Judge Wallace's court.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And as far as any relief in terms of any activity in our court other than affirming the dismissal of the anti-SLAPP motion, that's what you're asking us to do, and that's it.
That is true. If this court even has jurisdiction to hear the case, that is a question for you and your colleagues. The statute, I mean, in becoming familiar with it, it's the jurisdictional issue really isn't clear in face of the 2013 amendments to the statute.
All right.
So we were prepared to argue jurisdiction, but we really think that, assuming we're here, the court is hearing the case, they can give us the appropriate relief we seek, which again is affirming Judge Wallace's prior ruling, denying the defendant's motion, and proceeding it to trial, and as we intended.
Thank you.
I have a question. The sole publication that you're claiming is defamatory is this Facebook post.
That is correct, Your Honor. Yes. And I think the statement itself could be subject to interpretation. If appellant's counsel was here, they would say that this was just a comment on the Dodgers' business. If you look at the other evidence that we presented, both in our petition and in Mr. Spazoff's affidavit and the supporting affidavit of Terry Cruz, who engaged in an affair with one of the defendants, or one of the defendants, that, you know, yes, this was to intentionally harm the Dodgers. There's communications in the record that show that Nolan Bedford intended to harm the Dallas Dodgers. He communicated it on the internet to
Is there any distinction to be drawn by the fact that this was posted on, I guess, not his Facebook, but his wife's Facebook, versus, say, a comment on a Dodgers baseball website that was accessible to?
I believe it's more flagrant, Your Honor. It's an aggravating fact, because this type of called internet trolling is perpetuated usually anonymously. And the threats which Mr. Spazoff received on September 12th, preceding and after this publication, were made directly from Mr. Bedford's email. He identified himself as the communicator. But he used his wife's account. He used her name and apparently their daughter's image to communicate the defamatory content to the world, anybody who would access the Dallas Dodgers website. And I just might add, for point of reference, I've discovered that the competition between these youth developmental baseball leagues is quite competitive. And the stakes are often very high to get the best players in your particular organization. When Mr. Spazoff was confronted with Mr. Bedford's complaint on September 12th, he wasn't sure that if this was sort of a setup, maybe from a competitor. All he knew when he looked into the matter was that Autumn Bedford, co-defendant, had signed up her child to play with the Dallas Dodgers, but not the husband. So obviously he's complaining of an affair. There's apparent evidence of estrangement. The mother may very well have wanted him on the team. We needed to ascertain that. But we've never heard anything from the mother. It's always been, the litigation has always been driven by Nolan Bedford. So she's remained silent. So there is, you know, we attempted to depose her shortly after the January hearing on the motion to dismiss, and they filed this appeal.
And you said the statements were readily available to anyone who accessed the Dallas Dodgers website?
Yes, if you looked up Dallas Dodgers, mm-hmm. It's an open forum. They're there for the world to see. So we
this
view that as
on the Dallas Dodgers website?
It was on the Dallas Dodgers website. It was the Facebook. She they communicated the message from her through her Facebook account to the Dodgers website.
Okay. So
and he taunted us, Your Honor. I mean, he said we were trying to work it out. We were in the process. Mr. Spazoff had already called me that afternoon saying, you know, what should I do with this? The coach doesn't want to talk to me until we can have a face-to-face meeting. I've got Mr. Bedford irate. I said, well, she does. You know, tell him to call me. And at that point, Mr. Bedford became, I would say, irrational and sent a separate email message saying, this is what I'm doing. And he sent subsequent emails to me as well, threatening to picket their practice the next day. And you know, I know this court has got to be tired of these family spats coming before them and tying up their time, which is why that we think, you know, this, we need to put a stop to this.
Is there a way to delete these from the Dallas Dodgers website? Can they delete comments?
Well, they would have to take down the Facebook posting, which my understanding is they did. I don't know exactly when that occurred. We were confident that they had been withdrawn, you know, sometime in late September. So it wasn't an ongoing tort, if you will. I said at that point we had offered to return their registration fees, and all we asked was that if, you know, they wanted a refund. Well, I might add, we also offered to let the child continue to participate for the fall season free of charge. That offer was rejected. We had a check prepared for them to take. We did want them to enter into a confidentiality agreement, you know, saying that they would not, you know, disparage the Dodgers. Well, Mr. Bedford wanted to go talk to a lawyer about that, which I had actually encouraged him to do. I never met him face-to-face, but we corresponded via email. And I thought that's good. We're going to bring, you know, some seriousness to this and take care of it. Maybe he tweaks the agreement, whatnot. I said, silence. We think maybe they've gone away, joined another club. 45 days later, bam, I get this letter from Mr. Kaplan, you know, basically calling us, saying we put them in an emotionally despicable position. My clients dispute the allegations that Mr. Bedford's phone number was given directly to Mr. Cruz and Mrs. Bedford, which is something they developed. They claim that Mr. Cruz, the coach, had misappropriated personal information of the family to solicit the affections of Mrs. Bedford. That was their initial theory. And, of course, we've also established that Mr. Cruz not only had other relationships with the Bedfords, he had longer-term relationships with the Bedfords, having been a co-worker with Mr. Bedford at Park Place Motor Cars in Grapevine the year before he ever affiliated with the Dodgers, and also had a new Autumn Bedford through his dentist office in Grapevine, where he was a patient. So they've offered not one quantum of evidence to show that any personal identifiable information was compromised in their relationship through the Dallas Dodgers. It's so attenuated as to just, you know, quite frankly, I think it's ridiculous. But here we are. We feel like we've been subjected to a predatory litigant. We're simply trying to exercise our rights under the Constitution, which, I mean, are express. I mean, the TCPA, I would just argue, is supposed to promote free speech, but also meritorious claims. And that's what the statute says. They haven't followed. They seek the statute as a means of using it as source of recovery. They don't view the sanctions provision in the TCPA, under Section 27.009, that's there to punish vexatious litigants. It's not to protect the, you know, the undeserving defendant, not to, you know, say, hey, well, we got a better means of recovery under TCPA than we do in these trumped up tort claims of our own, so let's just bait them into suing us and then we'll get them on sanctions. Because quite frankly, they had a much, looking at it objectively, they had a much better chance of prevailing on a sanctions claim than they did on any of these claims that they reportedly had against us. They said alienation of affection, intentional infliction of emotional distress, breach of contract, and negligence. They went on the record in trial court talking about how it was really a complaint just about the standard of care that the Dodgers had for their family environment, and that's just absurd. They never raised that issue until they were sued and threatened us with an anti-slap motion in December, 3 months after the defamation had occurred. So having said that, Your Honors, I just want to say that the movements, having failed to prove their case they had the burden by preponderance of the evidence to show that the TCPA did not apply to the facts to our prima facie case, and they did not do that. That's what Judge Wallace ruled. So we would ask this court respectfully to grant sanctions and attorney's fees against the movements, the appellants here, or their attorneys as deemed appropriate, and remand the case to the district court for further adjudication. All right. Thank you for your time.
Well, we appreciate your argument. Your case is submitted.